Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. Today is Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. We continue to peel back the layers on the Red Wings 2020 draft class on today's show. I am your host, Detroit sports editor Nolan Bianchi. We are joined, we being my co-host Ethan Smith and I, we are joined by Steve Kornianos of thedraftanalyst.com, of the Draft Analyst podcast. We kind of go in to those middle rounds. We look at Theodore Niederbach, who is absolutely tearing it up over in the J20 League in Sweden. We talk about Cross Hannes. We talk about William Wallander. We look at Emil Vero. It's all here for you guys. Steve is one of the foremost leading experts on the NHL draft, and super thankful to him for being able to deliver another great episode with us. Be sure to go buy that draft guide. Just because the draft's over doesn't mean that it's, you know, completely old information. Like, it's information that is good to have going forward now that the Red Wings have made these picks. It's available on his website. It's only $5. So for the price of a cup of coffee, you can become a well-rounded expert on what the Red Wings have brought to the table in this 2020 draft. But if you don't want to do that, we are going to give you the next best thing on today's episode. We go through the draft class. Rate, review, subscribe. This is part two of our talk with Steve. We did talk to him a little bit on yesterday's show to talk about the direction that the Red Wings appear to be heading in, both through the draft and with their moves in free agency on Friday and over the weekend. And then coming up later this week, we've got Justin Spiro. You might know him from Twitter at Darko State News to talk about why he is optimistic about the way that the Red Wings are trending at this current point in time. He's a known pessimist. So hear what he has to say about all that. Follow us on Twitter at @LO_Red Wings. It's the best way to stay locked on to everything that we are doing here at the podcast, where we try and make sure that you stay locked on to your favorite team, and it's the Detroit Red Wings. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow. Same time, same place. It's your team every day. So I want to ask, kind of about some of those Swedes. And the guy I want to start with is Theodore Niederbach. Now, I believe he is leading the J20 League over in Sweden in points. I mean, what can you tell us about him? Why was the buzz on him kind of low? Because I feel like ever since the draft happened and we've been honing in on this guy, he seems to be quite the star.
Yeah, he had a couple of injuries. I think he had a knee and a hip, or a knee and maybe just a knee and an ankle, or maybe just one. But he had injury issues. He's always been considered a high-profile Swedish prospect from the 2002 year group. So he's been involved in all the international tournaments. But last year, 18-19, he missed a lot of time. And so when he went back to Frölunda, which is, of course, the big-time program, and that, you know, Lucas Raymond was a part of as well, they were loaded. And they had a center named Carl Henriksson, a Ranger draft pick, as their number one. But when Henriksson was bouncing between the A team and the J20, Niederbach was filling in, and he and his winger Torgerson had such beautiful chemistry with one another. I mean, Niederbach is the playmaker, the setup guy, but he's got the stick handling and the puck control, really fantastic. And I would say it was first round quality. And then little by little, I started giving him bumps up. I mean, it's actually funny that they drafted Vero as well, because Vero is known as one of the better positional defenseman, like one-on-one, because he's such a textbook technically superior skater for a defenseman in all areas. And at the U18 Five Nations in February, which is like a best on best including everybody except Canada, Niederbach came down one-on-one down the left wing, and he absolutely undressed Vero, undressed him. And I tweeted it out, and he ended up finishing and scoring. And so I'm like, listen, this kid, Niederbach, I think this might be, I don't want to say it was his arrival, because he was, I think Central Scouting was kind of high on him. They had him somewhere in like the 20s or 25 range on their final European ranking, but that came after that tournament. So you're getting a playmaking center with a high hockey IQ. He just very smart. I mean, he's the guy, I'll just sum it up very, very easily. He's the guy you want controlling the puck on the line. He's the guy. You want him on the puck. You want him dictating play, dictating pace. The vision's fantastic. And he actually played with Raymond a little bit at the end of last season when Raymond got demoted down to the J20 level. So, and as of right now, he's absolutely torching it. I mean, talking about almost 2 points a game or something like that. So I thought it was a great pick where they got him.
Which pick did you like the most in rounds two or three?
For the Red Wings, I would say I liked all of them. Maybe the Sobrango pick was a little bit off the board. I had him at 134. They got him at 63. Wow. But considering that they already got Volander and they already got Vero, maybe I would have opted for a more of a playmaking type, maybe Anton Johannesson, another Swedish kid, although he's a little small. I don't know if Emil Andre was available at that pick at 63. I think Flyers might have taken him in the second round, I think it was, or maybe third round. But in any event, I thought what rounds one through three, I mean, Raymond, Volander, Niederbach, Hannes, Sobrango, Vero, that is outstanding work. Outstanding work. You know, really, it just, you got so many different types of plays there. You got defensemen with the size who could skate, defensemen who could be shut down types. With Vero, he's physical. Volander is definitely physical. Hannes is like this human highlight reel of all these fancy plays. Niederbach could be himself a human highlight reel. And then you got, the prize really being Lucas Raymond, where if everything works out, you're looking at a potential, 75 to 80 point franchise kind of a winger. There wasn't one point in rounds one through three where I kind of raised the eyebrow at what the Red Wings did. Outside of the Sobrango pick, but the Sobrango, listen, he's a big, mobile, physical defenseman, a shutdown guy, kind of like sneaky skills offensive-wise, but, considering how many picks they had, like seven picks in the first three rounds, or was eight picks, or six, whatever it was, they're not going to make me happy on all of them, but I'm not a Red Wings fan, and I found myself happy with every pick that they did, or they made, so I know some Red Wing fans were a little not really concerned or confused, but that's hopefully where a guy like me could step in and add a little bit of perspective. So, yeah, I thought they did a great job.
What can you tell us about Sam Stang? I know I think you might have tweeted out a video or two of him when he got drafted. A Wisconsin boy, going to be playing at the University of Wisconsin this upcoming season. Out of Sioux City in the USHL. Has some pretty good highlights out there, but outside of that, I mean, what can you tell us about him?
I mean, he's 6 foot, 200 pounds, but he moves like he's, 6'1", 170 pounds. He's pretty nimble for his size. And with Stang, I love the effort, man. He was a team leader. He was used in all situations. Yeah, he could score. A lot of kids could score at the junior level. But I just liked his attitude. He had a high compete factor, if you want to call it that, or battle level, always willing to do the dirty things, dirty work. But at the same time, he's a top line player. So on one shift, you'll see him digging deep in the corners or behind the net or in front of the net. And then the next shift, you'll see him motoring up the ice, executing an odd man rush with precision. So, he's an overager. So it was a second look in the draft. I had him ranked out of the 50 I ranked, the draft holdovers. I had him ranked 29th, so it's still pretty high. There's 4 or 5 year groups in that mix, and he was one of, well, at least four, and he was one of the tops in that group. So Wisconsin needs a guy like him because they had some issues in the locker room, issues with egos, and he's a pretty selfless player. He's like a team first leader guy, glue guy. So I don't know if he'll ever be like a big time scorer. He's not one of these guys that you say, oh, he's going to be potential to be a 40-goal guy in the NHL. No. But, when he's the kind of guy, if I could find only one thing that would be positive about it, if you put a gun to my head, say, name one thing, it's that when he goes to camp, he's going to make some of these high-profile prospects, talk about prospect camp, he's going to make a lot of these high profile prospects work harder because he's going to give you 110%. He's going to be out there every shift. And eventually we all know coaches, they love kids like that. Mm-hmm. They love kids that are all effort. And they'll take guys like Stang over the finesse guys who just like to dangle and deke and do whatever, especially if they're being selfish. And that's something that Stang is not. So again, another solid pick.
All right, we've got more with Steve Cornianos coming up in just a second, but quick, I got to talk to you guys today about rockauto.com. They're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Listen, folks, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are always reliably low. Now, if you're somebody who likes to save money, who doesn't, then rockauto.com is the site for you. I've said it multiple times. Why would you choose to leave your house and go to a local chain store when you can go to rockauto.com and find everything you need in one convenient location, a remarkably easy catalog to navigate. It's unique. It's got all the best parts, all the best prices. Instead of, you know, when you're pretty limited, when you go down to your local store, they only have one brand that the warehouse carries and you're extremely kind of put in a little bit of a hole because of it. But with rockauto.com, you're going to be able to see everything available for your car or vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. And best of all, like I said, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why would you spend up to twice as much for the same auto parts when you can go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck? Just write "lockdown" in their "how did you hear about us" box that they know we sent you. That's the only thing that we ask for you guys in return for pointing you guys towards one of the best, online auto parts store. That's it. Just go there. How did you hear about us? Locked On. Nolan and Ethan. They're great guys. They've got amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. It's rockauto.com.
Fender Off gives him the business.
Now, and if you're anything like the average American, you know, working a full week, trying to have, you know, what we are allowed to have in terms of a social life, I can guarantee you that at some point during each day, you're going to hit a wall. Now, that's different for everybody, but Built Go wants to know, what is your wall? Because Built Go is a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It's lasting and natural. I got a package of Built Go shipped to my house a couple weeks ago. I've been using them right around 2-3 o'clock. They've got 100 milligrams of caffeine in them, which is more than a Red Bull. They've got nice amounts of protein in it. I believe 15 grams of protein. You can take it in a nice 1.5-ounce package. And the most important thing about that protein is that it combines the energy gel of Built Go with collagen protein, which is fast absorbing. So it gets into my system fast and it is easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. They've got beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep my to keep me going strong. Also some B6 and B12 in there, 10,000% of your daily recommended value. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better, folks. There's not too many foods out there that can do that for you. So go to BuiltGo.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
There's an old man sitting next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.
Which one of these post round two picks has the highest ceiling? And then which one do you think it has maybe just the, and I don't even know how to word this, but it was a safer pick, somebody who will get to the NHL, probably won't explode onto the scene, but you think, despite being drafted in the later rounds, has a chance to become a very solid NHLer for years to come?
Well, the first two picks around three, the defensemen, Sobrango and Vero, are very good. They've both been number ones on their respective teams. Vero barely spent any time in junior hockey this year because he was so good. He was playing with TPS, which is a very, you know, high-profile program in Finland. He was able to go there and be a top-four guy for them and making pretty sound decisions. So when you have guys that can do that, and, of course, Sobrango played for Team Canada, the Ivan Hlinka. That Ivan Hlinka is the best of Canadian 18-year-olds or 17-year-olds, sometimes 16-year-olds. And they decided that Sobrango was one of the best six defensemen in all of Canada from the 2002 year group. So those guys have number two or number one potential, best case scenario. I'm not saying that either will become one and the odds are slim, but if you've been a number one your whole life, you know, Sobrango being a high OHL priority pick, he's on the Hockey Canada radar, Vero playing for Finland as a top two or top four on, you know, all the major tournaments for his age group, and he'll probably be a top four, top two at the World Juniors whenever they play them. So right off the bat, those two guys, you got to consider potential top pairing guys. As far as overall, though, I got to say the goalie Bednar or Bednash. I don't even know how they pronounce that name anymore.
Yeah, I know. I've heard
it. I know. Where does he get a silent S in that name? I have no idea.
Well, there was an old defenseman named Stanislav Nekar, N-E-C-K-A-R, from back in the day. And they used to call him Netzcash. But we always called him Nekar, and he's Netzcash. So I think the A-R is a sound. So I call him Bednash, but I mean, in any event, I think he's got the highest upside. This is a goalie that was ranked second by Central Scouting. I had him almost in the top 100, and he's 6'4", almost 200 pounds, playing in a men's league, borderline dominant or too good to be in the junior circuit. So he got that call up to the extra liga, where his numbers weren't that great. But, I mean, I think he had two games where he posted shutouts. So even if you have, like, eight games where you get blown out, but you're pitching shutouts in two of them and you're only 17 years old playing against men, I think that's promising. So he does have number one franchise potential. I mean, absolutely. So those are the three guys I think the most. Some of the other guys, Alex Cotton, draft overager, absolutely exploded with his production this year. He went from being a, you know, 2001 born guy, having just like kind of like a middle pairing guy, to being this bomber, this guy that has like almost 70 points and scoring all these goals, playing on the top power play unit. I don't think he was the number one though, because they had Kalen Addison there, the Pittsburgh draft pick that's now with, I think he's with Minnesota now, but he could have been in the number one. And he's got pretty good size and whatever. And then the other guys, obviously, they're just long-term college project types that you just wait to see how it all plays out.
So where do you see this Red Wings team projecting out this year in the NHL? What are your upsides? Where do you think we could be at? And who should we look out for in some of these new signings that we've had?
Well, I would say that it's going to be a rough season. I'm not trying to, you know, pour syrup over a shiny turd. No, with all due respect, I mean,
what was it?
Pour syrup over the shiny turd.
Like, I love that.
It's basically like they are rebuilding. They had, for lack of a better term, they were embarrassing last year. It was rough, and I'm not looking at this because I'm an anti-Red guy. I've been following the Wings since the early '80s. They've always been kind of a pet team of mine. I was always pulling hard for them to break the jinx. So it's not like I have this agenda against them. I'm just,
well, they were a historically bad team. I don't think, you know, I don't think anybody's going to come at you for having.
Yeah.
That,
yeah. They were bad.
They were ugly.
I think the intent was to be bad, with maybe to get a shot at a Byfield or a Lafayette. And unfortunately the lottery had other plans for that. But, at the same, it's a group that I think will slowly add credibility back to the organization. And when I say that, though, you're not going to have games. You're just going to get blown out every night. And you're going to have, I mean, the issues that I had with the Wings last year with all those veterans, they like mailed in so many games.
Yeah.
And I think they just, even with the veterans, as proud as some of them may have been, they really just had lackluster efforts. And you want to blame the coach. You know, I've talked about the coach a lot, even in that podcast I had, where the coach must have a sweet deal because he's been there for a long time. And they've regressed every season since he's been there. And he just couldn't get anything out of that group last year except the young kids. The young kids came up. I thought Hronek was one of the few bright spots. Even Zadina when he came up. But I thought he was pretty promising as well. And I'm sure there are others too. I didn't watch every game. I would keep an eye on I'd keep an eye definitely on Stetcher, because I thought he was pretty good for the Canucks last year. He's never really been a number one or a number two, but he's a pretty competent puck mover. Maybe not a shutdown guy. I think Merrill is an underrated signing. I think he might add some stability back there. Namestnikov, he was really good when he was like like a tertiary or, you know, option, like a third line guy putting up points with Tampa Bay. When he went to the Rangers and that move was viewed as a JT Miller for Namestnikov 1-for-1 swap because McDonough was the deal where you got in all those prospects. And it never worked out with the Rangers. He just was pretty non-existent. But then he goes to Ottawa and he's able to kind of, you know, increase his profile. What you got to worry about, though, is that did he do it because, you know, he was a free agent? Mm-hmm. Or did he do it because he really desperately wants to reinvent himself or reestablish his standing in the league? Bobby Ryan, one-way forward. He's a goal scorer. So, you know, add a little bit of depth scoring. Sam Gagne, another one. Like, maybe they could form some type of fun veteran line and take some pressure off the Larkin unit. Mark Stahl, a lot of problems. A lot of problems. Very slow. Very slow, but he's going to be good at it from a mentorship standpoint because there was a point where he wasn't. He was not only not slow, he was good. He could skate, but he was also involved in those playoff wars. So he's been to the conference finals. He's been to a Stanley Cup, and he could help out some of the younger guys, even if it's just for half a season. And then the goaltender Greiss, he's a fantastic signing, really some of the situations the Islanders put him under, where he was asked to play big games, and he was always, even going back a couple of years, he always seemed to be able to step in when the number one was terrible, and then he himself was a number one and did pretty well. The thing is, though, is like I said, I mean, he's not going to have a Barry Trotz as his head coach and one of the best young mobile defenses and shutdown defenses with four solid lines that the Islanders could roll where they all adhere to defensive play and tight checking. So I think last year he faced only, he had 15 games where he faced 30 shots or more. I think the Wings had like 70 games last year where they gave up 30 shots or more. So it'll be a little bit different for him, different surroundings. But again, I think that this unit will help restore credibility. So even if they improve by just 10 points or 15 points in the standings, then that's what you want. I don't see them as a bubble playoff team. They got just way too many, because you got to look at what Ottawa did and what Buffalo's doing and what Montreal's doing. They're just like, you know, if you stay in your tunnel and you're focusing only on your team, you think that your offseason is the best and your draft was the best, but other teams have a say as well, and they're working hard to improve at the same time. So it'll be tough, but I think that what I would ask for as a Red Wings fan is to include Zadina and Valeno, maybe Antti Tuomisto, whomever. I mean, I don't know about maybe Tuomisto. He's not ready yet. But some of these young guys, like, freaking play them. I'd like to see more Rasmussen. I'd like to see more of Chalowski. They did it a couple of years ago, and we were excited about it. And then they seemed to kind of cut back on it, whether they felt that they were still kind of raw or whatever. But I'd like them to see this is going to be more of a veteran team this year than last year, but I would still like to see them play the kids as often as possible.
And we should mention, too, for those of you who haven't checked it out already, Steve did a complete kind of overview of each franchise prior to the draft. You can find it at the Draft Analyst Podcast. It's one of the Red Wings. Is excellent. And I kind of want to ask, we are starting to get a little bit of clarity kind of how this next season is going to play out, who's going to be where. Are the kids coming back from Europe? Are they not coming back from Europe? And it sounds like a few of them, like Sider and Valeno and definitely Raymond, just to name a few, are for sure going to be over in Europe for the remainder of the season. What do you make of that? Do you think that there's any pros to, I guess, stashing the kids over in Europe while these veterans at the Red Wings side this year kind of help pick up the pieces with some of the older pieces of the core, like Larkin, Bertuzzi, Mantha, like that those guys are, they're kind of doing two separate things on two separate little journeys here, but all obviously with the purpose of making the Detroit Red Wings a Stanley Cup contender one day.
Well, I always remember the Red Wings operating this way, whether it was on the Jimmy Devilan or on the Ken Holland, that they were always patient with their kids.
Yep.
They rarely rushed them. I mean, unless you have a high pick like Yzerman. But look, they drafted Fedorov, they drafted Konstantinov, and they drafted Lidstrom at 89. None of those guys played until, was it 90, 91, and then Lidstrom 91, 92. I think that might have been Constantino's first year as well. So, like, yeah, and then with Holland, it seemed like all those guys that they drafted, they let them just soak. Mm. Now, the difference was that those teams were competitive. They were either Stanley Cup contenders or Norris Division contenders. And so it's a lot easier to do that when you got a packed house. You know, you're winning cups, you're going having deep playoff runs, and you're able to just draft a kid in the first round, keep him, whether it be in Adirondack or wherever the system, you know, Grand Rapids. Now it's a little different, though, because, you know, if you have empty seats and, you know, the veterans that you have up at the NHL level, let's say, you know, 7/8 of the roster is a bunch of veterans, you might have to start, you know, making some changes. And based on what guys like Sider and Valeno and Zadin have done in the AHL, the AHL to me is far more important. Production in the AHL is 8 zillion years more important than it is in the OHL level or Europe. Not always the case. Obviously, there are a lot of guys who perform well in the OHL, went right to the NHL and became stars. I get it. But to answer your question, I don't have a problem with it. I think that for right now, it's the right thing to do, because a lot of those kids, I guess, are like as close to ready as you can be ready, right? I would think Sider's ready after the year that he had.
Yeah.
If Moritz Sider isn't, I mean, if, you know, look at some of the guys that the Rangers are playing in the NHL, or look at some of the other rebuilding teams. If Quinn Hughes can make the NHL after 1 year, or Cale Makar, then why can't Mo Sider? I mean, he might not put up 70 points or 65 points, but he's proven time and again to be a more than competent and capable against men and fast skaters and what have you. So I would say it's going to be at least another year of these guys waiting their turn. I think maybe this came from up above, up top with the ownership that said, hey, let's try to fill the seats a little bit. Let's try to buck this trend of losing attendance and losing season ticket holders. But let's not also tie into any long-term deals that'll block these kids when they are ready. So you play Mark Stahl this year, he sucks, fine. He's gone. You never see him again. And he's a lefty. So you put in Chalowski, or you put in, you know, whomever. So I don't know. I do have faith in Steve Yzerman. I really think that he genuinely has a plan. The only thing I would tell Red Wings fans is it's going to take a while. It's probably going to take a lot longer, maybe another 3 years. You have to wait for Boston to get old. You have to wait for Tampa to get really messed up by the cap and their big guys get old, where there's really no replacements for Victor Hedman or Steven Stamkos. And then maybe, you know, Toronto bottoms out because all the money, they're so top heavy. They have no room to operate, where then you'll see the changing of the guard, where the top teams in the division or challenging will be Ottawa, will be Montreal, will be Detroit, and potentially Buffalo, if things work out for them. It's going to happen. It always happens. Everything's cyclical. I don't see Tampa or Boston living up there at the top of the division for each of the next 5 seasons. Someone's going to bump them off.
Well, you mentioned Buffalo, and it sounds like they actually signed Taylor Hall to a one-year deal around $8 million. I don't know if that's been confirmed yet.
Not bad. That's not a good deal. That is not a bad – I'm surprised he took that.
I know. 1 year in Buffalo.
With his injury history, oh, I'm surprised. I mean, listen, but what's weird is that he's not going to a playoff team. He's not like
the whole like thing. He's always been about doesn't the make playoffs any sense.
And winning, and he is not going to a playoff team. He is going to a team that might challenge for that last spot, but they weren't even a playing round team. They were one of the teams that got left out. So they weren't even one of the top, what was it, 24. They were on the bottom seven. So if true, great for them, good for the city of Buffalo. But it's going to be must-see. I guess it's the Sabres now, a must-see TV. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
So we'll wrap it up on this. You've been very gracious with your time, and we definitely really appreciate that. Go check out thedraftanalyst.com. Go buy the full 2020 draft report. It's only $5. It pays for itself immediately. One of the things that's kind of being brought up, that's been brought up a lot over the weekend, is the Red Wings, they sign these guys, and the whole thought is, oh, nice, you bring them in, they can help out for a while, and then you just flip them at the deadline. that kind of like, I love that in theory, and if that all works out, great. But that sounds like my general approach when I play like NHL 21 on the PlayStation. And like, it just works out because there's not human emotions involved, and literally they're just assets that I can pick up and trade away and stuff like that. But these are human beings that we are talking about, five of them signed to the Detroit Red Wings. I mean, I don't think that sends a very good message when guys are brought in to, you know, help change a culture. And obviously we don't know what happened in these negotiations. Maybe that was part of it, was, hey, you come in for a half a year, you help us put some things together, and at the deadline we will, you know, get you to a team of your choosing, to a contender of your choosing, if everything works out for them. But what do you actually make of that philosophy and like having those many pieces? Like, I don't really honestly see that happening really with a lot of the guys that they signed in free agency. If you acquire them via trade, that's a different story. But I don't know that just as a matter of principle, you want to make it a habit or glaringly obvious that you are signing and just collecting as many assets as you can to just immediately ship them away, even though in theory it is kind of a good practice, I suppose.
Well, it's a contingency. I guess like the intent is not to, I think when they had their meetings and they came up with some type of strategy for the offseason, I don't think the mission statement was to acquire veterans on the cheap so that we could trade them for picks at the deadline. I think it was acquire capable NHL veterans with flexible contracts or unflexible contracts that would help us become a better team and win more games. And in the event that that does not work out, then we have the flexibility to move them at the deadline. So I think what happened is, considering that we're looking at a flat cap, there's a whole lot of uncertainty. Like, I keep talking about it. Like, hockey-related revenue was vanished. Mm-hmm. The revenue that comes, so much of that revenue comes out of ticket sales and TV deals. And, I mean, you name it. A lot of that is dried up. And the NHL is also up for a new TV contract. I think ESPN, I read that ESPN is looking to buy the NHL rights, and NBC's like, no way, this is a big moneymaker for us. That, you know, when you do this type of, when you operate or execute this type of strategy, it's just giving you the flexibility. That's all it is. And as the players themselves, they're pros. They're used to this. I think if you've spent your whole life with one team like a Mark Stahl, you have a little bit of an adventure. You go to a new team, see what it's like. Maybe you like it. Let's say Mark Stahl has a really good season and he's a free agent and he loves the area. He loves the schools, or I don't know what his family situation is, but he's closer to home because he's an Ontario boy. He might say, you know what? I like it here. I want to stay. Because that's the other thing too. It's almost like, look at it this way. It's like a high profile, hotshot, like a law school graduate that gets a job, is new to a firm, or maybe some old school veteran lawyer who's new to a firm and isn't really sure about it. So instead of buying a brand new mansion with his salary, he just rents a really nice apartment for 1 year. And then if he stays there and he likes it, he could, you know, put down money to buy a home and have a, you know. So I think that's what it is. It's more like just a contingency. And considering all the assets that the Wings have stockpiled, they've had something like, what, 55 picks in the last, or 53 picks in the last, no, I think it's like 55. I think it's 55. Hold on. I got my numbers right. How many picks they have this year?
12.
They have 10?
They ended up with 12.
So they've had 57 picks since 2015. That's six drafts. So that's almost 10 per draft. It's crazy. So yep. They're fine with the assets. I think that if the more they stockpile, the better. But to answer your question, again, I think this is, it's just a contingency that they want to become a better team. Some of the names they got, John Merrill, physical defenseman, you know, could be a shutdown type. Mark Stahl, far better below the circles than he is above them. Thomas Greiss played for a defensive oriented system. He could, be a stopper if you need him to be. So, I think that they definitely want to just not be one of the worst teams in the NHL in the last like 30 or 40 years. I think the goal is to be, you know, for every five games where they suck, have at least two games where they show promise, where they could hang with the St. Louis one game and beat them without being outshot 60-10. Right. You know, and I think you'll see that. I think if you look at the schedule and the results from this past season, there's just a lot of disappointment, a lot of sad efforts, and
a lot of 8-2 losses to the Wild. You know,
yeah. You're not going to see them. You'll see them winning at least 5-10 more games this year against teams they should beat, or at least should compete with. So just by that alone, if they win, let's say 7 more games, that's 14 more points. And that's definitely on the road to recovery.
Well, that's exactly what we are hoping for. Just some positive signs. We're with Steve Cornianos from thedraftanalyst.com, the Draft Analyst podcast. Go check that out wherever you download podcasts. What else you got coming up, Steve, at thedraftanalyst.com?
2021 draft. That's it. Some 2021 stuff coming out, but I want to take my time with it. But it's going to focus heavily. I'm going to do a team draft rewind for each team over the next probably like 10 days. So only like little half hour bits. I'm not going to do an hour and a half for each one, but 2 hours like the previews. But that's pretty much it. Just those draft recap podcasts for each team, and then go right into 2021 and just stay on that course until hopefully June or whenever the season ends.
Right on. Well, thank you so much, man. Anywhere else that people can find you? You got Prospects Film Room on YouTube, at the Draft Analyst on Twitter. Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. The other Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, the Draft Analyst at Facebook, but I'm either on Twitter or on YouTube. Pretty much it.
All right, well, go check him out. He is one of the leading voices in scouting when it comes to the draft. And like you just said, you're moving on to the 2021 draft, and that's something that Red Wings fans already should start keeping an eye on. Thank you so much, Steve. We'll talk to you soon, and as always, appreciate the time.
Likewise, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it. This was fun.